Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Cabrera. Here, we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hello, friends. I am so glad you are listening today. And I am so glad to be here with our guest, Rachel Noonan. Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
All right. I want to set the stage before we get started. Rachel will be sharing with us what it is like to have peace while walking with stage 4 cancer. I mean, it does not get much more real than this. I mean, Rachel, you are literally in the thick of it right now as we speak.
Right now.
So as you guys listen to Rachel share, I am certain her story will showcase the nature of God to you. And I hope you walk away confident that God is real and he is personal and he wants you to come to him and trust Jesus with your life. So, Rachel, thank you so much for being willing to share about these very personal and complicated parts of your story. It is very special for you to let us have a peek behind the scenes of your life and your faith and what it's like for you to walk this road as you're in relationship with God and navigating all of the incredible, I don't even know what to call it, challenges, bumps, turns, joys, everything that comes into this package of what you're living through. So really excited to chat with you today.
Same here.
All right. I think to get started, we should hear a little bit of a background. Let's start with a background on your relationship with God. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Certainly. So I grew up in the faith. My family were church-going folks, and I actually had the privilege of going to quite a few different style of churches growing up. And so that was kind of one wonderful thing, is that I got to see God and the worship and expression of faith through very different lenses, which was really nice. And I think has probably inspired how I see him now, or at least the way I'm pursuing him now in our relationship. But, you know, I think I became a Christian at like 7 or 8, you know, by the time I could say, yep, let's do it. My parents were like, let's do it. And, you know, I can't remember to this day. I think the only thing I remember is, you know, them pouring water on my head and saying, I'm wet, into a microphone. But that was the impact of my baptism. But I think, you know, it wasn't necessarily that moment, but the legacy that my parents instilled and, you know, the faith journey that I've had since then has been every shade of interesting, from a little apathetic to even outright, you know, confrontational to now where it's just a cleaving. And right now I feel like I'm in the best place I've ever been with regard to my relationship with God, despite being in the worst place one could possibly be physically.
Right. What a dichotomy.
Quite.
Yeah. Between your peace that surpasses all understanding, right, and yet this physical state that is full of turmoil and disappointment at times. Right?
For sure.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I feel many people have a background of faith. I mean, many people have, I know I do as well. It was quite different from what you just described, but still it was around a church environment at one point. But can you tell me, what was there a moment in your life when you feel like you transitioned from that kind of knowledge of faith or this knowledge that I was baptized when I was little to a faith relationship with God that you felt like was personal and that there was some sense of power in that relationship?
Yeah. So I feel like there has always been an understanding that there is a personal relationship. But perhaps in my position, I felt it a little bit differently because there are people in my family actually that have an incredible faith journey. And you can just so clearly see God working in their lives in the most tangible and proactive ways. And so I almost felt that I was on the front row watching God interact in someone else's life mm-hmm. in the most beautiful and inspiring way, but also maybe internalizing it as, oh, that's for them, but not for me. Like, they've got God's favor and I get to encourage them in that walk, or I get to witness God through them. And it was less more, you know, God's working in me. I think probably with the diagnosis and kind of everything that has unfolded since then, I've recognized, like, oh, this is a multiplayer experience.
Multiplayer experience.
And that it's not just for the few and the favored. Mm-hmm. It's for everyone and who is favored. And that, you know, anyone who chooses to trust in Jesus and believe in God, and it's there for us. And he welcomes us in relationship as beautifully as I was witnessing it with that family member, and as beautifully as I have experienced it more recently.
In your life, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I remember, actually, can you paint the picture for us? Kind of what was your life like right before your diagnosis? Like what type of, give me a little peek into what your life was like at that time.
Sure. Rachel 1.0.
There we go.
Was... gosh, I almost want to characterize it by my flaws, which the most obvious being pride.
Okay.
And that filtered into everything. That filtered into having a very strong vision for what my life was going to look like, having very strong visions for what, you know, my kids' lives would look like, and expectations of the people around me. You know, career-wise, I had a very strong vision of what that looked like. And God was included, but he wasn't consulted. Certainly. Mm. And I don't think at that point I would have actually taken his advice anyway, had I sought for it. Because again, I was of the mentality, oh, that's for them, not me. Mm-hmm. And where their life is kind of guided so effortlessly, I actually have to work for it. And that was Rachel 1.0.
Okay. So you were a go-getter.
I was a go-getter, and I was very sure of my future because I was going to be in control of it.
I see. Yeah, so you had a high level of confidence that you knew what you were doing.
Yes.
And you were going after it, and things were going to go the way that you had intended them to go because you were working hard enough on it to make that happen.
Yeah, and I had a color-coded Excel spreadsheet. What could go wrong?
Yeah, right. The power of the Excel spreadsheet. Until
one day, I mean, after, let's see here, it was about a 9-month journey of recognizing something was wrong physically.
Okay.
That's a whole nother podcast. Mm-hmm. But at, let's see here, mid-September 2022, I was able to get a colonoscopy, finally. After much effort, and I got the news that there was a mass in my colon so big at that point that they were not even able to pass the scope through. TMI, but
right.
It just means it was big.
Yeah, right.
There was also indication from scans previously that there were tumors on my liver, which other doctors had kind of written off as, oh, they're cysts, it's normal. I'm like, 11? One the size of a softball.
Wow.
Yeah. So we were able to confirm very quickly that it was stage 4 cancer, which means that the primary cancer from the colon, which I have is colon cancer, had transitioned to, or spread, I guess, to other parts of the body and to different organs, including a vital organ, which is your liver. So yeah, 2022 was when I started the journey to not die.
Right. Wow.
Very quickly, which right. is what was in the cards at that time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want to talk about God.
Yes.
And the thing is, I think that actually, I know that you were having faith oriented experiences at this time and throughout your journey that you have had that are kind of these behind the scenes experiences, things that are potentially difficult to articulate, things that could be potentially hard for other people to understand because they weren't in that moment in that at that time, right? And but also things that if you were not to share them out loud, no one would ever know.
Sure.
And yet they are reflective of how our loving Almighty God, who is faithful and kind and gracious to us as individuals, can interact with us here in the midst of our journey, in the midst of our experiences, and the way that He meets us where we are, you know? And I'm wondering if you can help put words to that for us today. Is there any way that you can share anything, paint a picture, tell us about an experience that would give us a little peek behind the curtain of what is it like to be a believer who gets a diagnosis like this? And then what is it like when you face God in the midst of this trial that you're going through?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the first thing that I felt in my relationship with God at that juncture was peace. And that is not the time in life when one should receive peace. Like, you will die soon. Your daughters, ages 3 and 5, will be without their mother in short order. Your husband will not have you very soon. And yet, within that context, I had a warm blanket, really is the best way to describe it, of peace, and almost like a velvet blanket in the sense that it buffered out the noise. It was really clarifying, and it was a singular message, which is, I love you. Not only do I love you, you know, God to daughter, but I'm also going to provide people around you, my community, my believers, who are going to express my love to you as well. And those were kind of the two things that happened simultaneously where I was like, whoa, okay, this is a new experience in our relationship that I've never felt before so tangibly. And in a way that was so reassuring, it was exactly what my heart needed at that time.
I love that. You know, in Romans 8:26 says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And really in that verse is specifically moving into how helping us when we don't know how to pray. And I feel like I'm listening to you right now. And if I were to imagine the cosmos, right, you're sitting in your living room or you're sitting on the side of your bed all by yourself, reckoning with this news that you've gotten. And I have this kind of idea in my mind of, if I imagine the cosmos, it's almost like this sense of the Holy Spirit moving in and then just laying this velvet blanket of peace over you that you cannot explain. I mean, it is completely contrary to the emotion you should be experiencing.
Exactly.
And giving you a confidence and assurance as well of what will be, how He will not only take care of you, but take care of your family and the people around you. And when I think about Romans 8 and particularly that area, thinking about the Spirit helping us in our weakness and interceding for us according to His will, knowing that God is that personal,
yes,
that He sees you where you are in that moment and cares.
Yes.
I mean, there are a lot of people on this earth, you know, to be able to have this singular, personal, intimate experience with God is remarkable, right?
Exactly.
And the fact that this is something He offers to all of us, blows me away. You know, the same God that met you in that moment can meet me as well and can meet anyone who's listening to this today in their moment. And I just love the fact that we can see it in scripture. We see it in our personal experiences. He intervenes. He helps us in our weakness. He draws near to us as we draw near to him. And I feel that you've experienced that in a very vivid way.
Yes. And I think, too, one of the things that I realized in that moment, because I understood God to be a great, almighty, powerful God, right? But for him to care about little me, right, and for him to be invested in my situation was like, I don't want to bother God, you know, like I came to him with my prayers, like one would send like a text message off to like, you know, a number you don't expect a reply from. But I was challenged with that because I got this sense. I'm just like, whoa, that is underestimating God's power, that he can be both all powerful and a personal God, that he can both, you know, have the world in his hands and also listen to my quietest whispers. And that is our God. He is all powerful and he is personal. He is both and can be because of that.
I love that. Just thinking of this multidimensional God, yes, you know, and I've definitely experienced that myself. In fact, this morning, I have this chair that I sit in. I call it my therapy chair because I really think it's actually a chair that people purchase for therapist offices. And it was a hand-me-down to me. And it's just this amazing chair as a footstool. And it's where I sit a lot to do anything that is not my normal work life. So that's where I will read my Bible. It's where I will pray. It's also where I will sit and work on my laptop when I'm doing personal things and not my work stuff. So this is kind of my little personal corner. And I sat there today. I began praying, and I found that in my prayer, I was pretty in my head. I wasn't in my heart. And so I noticed it. I noticed that I wasn't really genuinely going before God. I was kind of going through the motions of going before God. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
100%.
So I just got up. I physically stood up and I turned and faced the footstool. Instead of having my feet up on the footstool, I just faced the footstool and I got down on my knees and I prayed at the footstool. And I do this regularly whenever I realize that I'm not, my heart's not inclined in towards him. I'm thinking more about me than I am thinking about him. Mm. And that's a way that I physically position myself, just to get into a humble interaction with God.
Yeah.
And it works, because when I get down there and I start praying and I just say to God, God, you are so gracious to me, because even though here I am distracted, I'm trying to perform by praying to you versus like genuinely coming to you as my, you know, yeah. I'm just messy.
Yeah.
And I can go before the Lord. And at the same time that he calls me to humility and righteousness, he's also just showering me with grace and love, yes, and acceptance. And I'm thinking of that as you're talking, this multidimensional God that can be both and. He can be both. He can be the God that says, now, Jessica, you know that our relationship is so much richer whenever you come before me with a humble heart. Yep. So he can challenge me and he can call me to humility. He can call me to righteousness. He can challenge me in those ways, but he also simultaneously in the exact same moment is like just shedding grace on me and accepting me and welcoming me and saying, come as you are. It doesn't matter. You can't mess it up. I'm just glad you're here, you know?
Right.
And he's just so great like that. And I hear what you're saying is you're saying he can be both of these things to me. He can be both. And I can get to know all of his sides.
Yes.
I love that. What else have you learned about God? I mean, you've been on quite the journey. Is there anything else that stands out to you about God's character that you've really experienced? Well, tell me real quick, how long has this been?
Gosh, I think 2.5 years.
2.5 years
now. At this point. And that's included, gosh, like 3 or 4 surgeries. I stopped counting chemo at like 38. I think I'm in the 50s at this point, in terms of how many rounds of chemo I've had. And I should not be here today. I just want to put that on the table.
Right.
Like, in addition to seeing God's heart and growing closer relationship with him, I have seen his mighty work. Yes. And the fact that I'm here, the way that he has lined up, just, you know, thing after thing after thing medically for me, the odds were not at all in my favor. And yet God provided a way. And in my particular case, he provided it medically. And it has been beautiful. I mean, the miracle today is that I am here to talk about it.
Right.
Because that is not.
Praise God.
Yeah, that is not how it should have been. And so that is huge. And I think that's maybe just part of the journey. You know, one thing that I was able to have was more time. And then with that time, a conviction of how I should spend that time. And I think having, you know, this time that's not mine, it is borrowed time. And turning to God and be like, it's borrowed, but it's borrowed from you. So how would you like me to spend this time? What relationships do you want me to invest in? What words do you want me to say? Every time I, you know, leave a conversation or leave my kids or, you know, go out the door, I pause and I'm like, did I leave things the way that they needed to be left? And to be in that habit is actually a wonderful, beautiful thing just in life in general.
Right.
But inspired by God, I think, is what made it different and lasting too. And the hope that is coupled with that as well is something I think is unique to Christians. I want to say it is because it's the truth. And I don't know of anyone else who's been able to tap into that in the way that Christians are able to.
Yeah, there's an extreme hope.
Yes.
And so as you were reflecting on that, I'm thinking about God's character. I heard you say that he's made a way so many times. Yes. And I know that one of the things that we know about God's character is that he is a way maker. He's a promise keeper, right? Yes. And he has, from the beginning of time, really, he's been turning darkness to light. And he's been doing that in your life over throughout this journey as well. So I see all these characteristics of God that have been on display in the midst of your hardship and your relationship with him. And then you also mentioned about time. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about, I don't know, let's think about it for a minute. I'm thinking about how we are on this physical timetable, right? Where we're counting seconds, minutes, hours, days. And God is outside of time.
Correct.
And he doesn't have the same, you know, clock ticking that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're kind of reckoning with your earthly time.
Correct.
With your physical time. But in light of knowing this God that is outside of time and space. And I don't know, I'm not trying to get too meta for here, but I do think it's an interesting kind of behind the scenes look at someone who's walking in faith through a journey like the one that you're on, because suddenly you start to observe things about life that are different mm-hmm. from the way that you would see them if you weren't facing your own mortality. Yes. So is there anything there that sticks out to you in your journey with the Lord or with your own thinking about this kind of comparison between eternal life and mm-hmm. then earthly life that you want to share?
I think, you know, even the meta conversation is very much worth having, because I think we are so conditioned to get into our known and our schedule, our, you know, this is happening in 2 weeks, this is happening in 2 years, or this is what this should look like, or this is what I can expect. And in my medical space, the unknown is what you have to be very comfortable with. Even to the point where, you know, I had to stop telling people like, oh, my scan is on Tuesday, because they would be like, well, the scan will tell us things, right? I'm like, the scan is probably going to give us more questions than answers. You know, there's just so, you have to be very, very comfortable with the unknown. And I think that is actually where God is, for me, been the most comforting, because it is all unknown. We like to think that it is known, and we like to think that we can control things, and we can like to think that in 2 weeks' time we're going to be at this place at this time. But that is, first of all, up to God.
Right.
You know? And then second of all, like, the assuredness, I think we're leaning on that hope for the future and our expectations for the future, as opposed to what we should be leaning on, which is like our daily bread. Right?
Right.
And the manna that comes from God and the appreciation we need to have for that every day it comes. And so that shift in posture for me from relying on myself because I made the color-coded plan that it will happen to knowing it is all very unknown, but I have a wonderful, loving God who does know. And I don't need to know, but I'm okay knowing that He knows, and knowing that He loves me and we are hand in hand. And so long as I look to Him before every step, you know, He's got my back.
That's amazing. It's such a contrast from life before your diagnosis to now, and maybe even the way that you were in relationship with God before your diagnosis to now.
Absolutely.
And seeing this contrast of I'm leading the way and God's like with me.
Right.
To now He's leading the way, I'm with Him.
Right. God's my executive advisor versus God is right there with me. He is my boss right next to me, looking over everything. And I can refer to Him anytime I want.
Yeah.
And I know that He is going to know exactly what I need when I need it. And I just need to be patient and accepting.
Right. And He's trustworthy.
Yes.
So, you know, isn't that interesting? I think a lot of people outside looking in would be like, oh, if you have stage four cancer, you probably think God's not trustworthy because you're in this place of, you know, turmoil or despair or something.
Right.
So how do you know God is trustworthy?
Yeah.
You know, whenever you're in the midst of something like that, what is it that gives you that assurance?
Yeah. So for me, my situation is likely terminal. But because I have God and because of His promise to us, that is okay. Mm-hmm. And I think because as Christians, we have a different perspective on our life timeline. Like, death is not game over. Death is not the end. Death is not lights out. Death is the flipping of the page to another chapter. And that is such a precious perspective to have in this life that I don't think people fully recognize in our day and age.
Right.
When we're so ill-acquainted with death and passing, and hardships for that matter. And to know God within that scope, the much wider scope than I think many other people are used to, is really reassuring. And knowing that, again, like, death isn't a punishment. Death is inevitable. Mine's just going to come a little bit sooner, potentially. And, you know, I've got my PhD in finding a silver lining.
You're an expert.
Yes. To the concept of prepare to meet your maker has been really wonderful for me. And I would hate for others to need the same incentive, you know, that something's terminal, something bad is, you know, going to happen to you sooner rather than later, for them to be motivated to truly prepare to meet your maker.
Yeah.
But in doing so, I have had the richest relationship with God I've ever experienced. And I wish it had started sooner. But I, tragically, I don't think just the way I was, Rachel 1.0, could have known God the way I do now without him ripping the carpet out from under me. Mm. Those color-coded spreadsheets, they're hard to compete with. And he did.
Right.
And only in the way that God could.
Yeah. And in a remarkable way, you know his love.
Yes.
So much more intimately now. Yeah. So I want to read out of Isaiah 55, because I think that it really brings in a lot of what we've talked about today. In verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near." And then it goes on in verse 8 to say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And I've heard you refer often to his ways just being so much higher. I don't think you use the word higher, but mm-hmm. just referring to him knowing things, seeing things, doing things that are just so beyond what you can see or understand, that you patiently wait and you trust mm-hmm. and you know that he is trustworthy. And then I want to read you, this is actually, these are two verses that have been extremely instrumental in my life. Verse 12 says, "For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Okay, that verse I just love because it's like a big party, right? I mean, we're talking joy, peace, singing of the mountains and the hills, trees are clapping their hands. I'm just like imagining a party in the forest. Yes. You know what I mean? Like everything is celebrating. But this is the part that gave me a little mustard seed of hope in some of my darkest moments. For whatever reason, this verse just completely struck me many years ago in 2010. "Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Mm-hmm. And I see in your life, Rachel, instead of the thorn, it will be a cypress. And instead of the briar, a myrtle will spring up, and it will make a name for the Lord. And I know that your story and sharing with us today is going to make a name for the Lord. I also know that it will be an everlasting sign that will not be cut off, because things that are spiritual are eternal things. And our physical is something that will come and go, but our spiritual self is eternal. And I know that the faith that you have shown us today through your story is going to be something that will inject faith into someone else on their journey. And that faith will last them a lifetime through the power of the Holy Spirit. So thank you so much for visiting with us today. Thank you for listening. And I hope that everyone will continue to be encouraged by Rachel's story. Have a great one. If you would like to know what the Bible says related to today's faith conversation, please go to the description of this episode. To hear more faith conversations, click follow, and you can share this episode to encourage someone else on their journey.